Hey, before we get started, I just want to let you know, Jay Deshari was nice enough to give you guys, yeah, you, our listeners, 10% off of the device he's about to describe. Now, this is not an affiliate code. We don't get any kickback. This is just Jay reaching out after we recorded the episode to see if you guys wanted to jump in on this and give you a little price break. So, your 10% code is PTPintcast10. All uppercase, all one word, PTPintcast10. All right, now we'll start the episode. Another repeat guest here on the program today, Jay Deshari, a physical therapist out in Oregon. Jay works with elite athletes, triathletes, runners, and the like. I was following him on social media, and he came out with a product. It's called Mobo Board, and it looked weird. So I wanted to know more. If a guy like Jay is putting out a product, you know it's kind of something cool. So we get into that really from idea to how do you actually get a product to market. Almost like a little bit mini of a Shark Tank version of Jay's How I Built This origin story for this new project of his. So take a listen to that. We also get into really the mechanics of why. So it's kind of cool to watch a PT go from idea in how to challenge somebody to let me create the product to actually challenge someone. Episode brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Thank you to our longtime sponsors, the leaders in travel PT. If you want to do what you want to do, which is be a great physical therapist, anywhere in the 50 U.S. states, all sorts of different settings from new graduates on up to seasoned professionals. You have a license to practice physical therapy. Let it take you wherever you want to go. So find them online, AureusMedical.com. That's AureusMedical.com. Anything involved with travel PT, these guys have a handle on. Housing, taxes, con ed, licensure, how to move from state to state, how to line up an assignment while you're already on assignment. They've got it covered. They've been doing it for a couple decades. So find them online at AureusMedical.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world.
It is.
This is the PT Pintcast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, here we go. Back on the show and bringing another guest who's been on the program before, returning friend of the program, Jay Deshari. Jay, welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
We got some stuff going on. I came across, you know, it's like a weird society thing, right? We follow each other. We follow what we're doing online, even though we live at different ends of the country. Came across you doing something really, really cool with a product, which is always interesting to see a physical therapist, you know, really inventing something or creating something out of nothing, which if you listen to Jay's first episode, we talked a little bit how you just create your own exercises, the Jaysercises, but but now you're actually creating a physical thing. And I just think that's so cool when PTs kind of stay in their scope, but step outside of what maybe our world is, which is actually creating a cool product. So I wanted to talk about Mobo. Am I saying that right?
Mobo, yeah.
Talk to us about it. Why'd you make it? What does it do? And what's the process like to actually making something?
Yeah, but it's been quite a journey, Jimmy. I find we get into school and we're taught to follow a framework and go through certain processes. And you know, we're dictated to follow a plan, right? Or,
right.
Or some aspect of a plan. And then you get to school and find out those plans don't always hold true. And it's, you know, not every patient responds to the same thing all the time. And so you're trying to, you know, you refine your craft. You learn to think critically. And I think that over the years, I think as a lot of us as therapists think critically is not just about, trying to adapt techniques, but adapt environments. And I think that adapting environment goes back to what are the tools we're using to help our patients get back to their peak. For me, I saw just a glaring hole in the world that we live in, right? I mean, athletes go and they may do a certain sport and they may do cross training and they go to the gym and they train, you know, a lot of big mover muscles, but they don't spend time training the basic foundation to the ground, right? I mean, you ask an athlete, what do you do for your chest? They can name 10 exercises. What do you do for your hamstrings? Well, I do Nordic hamstring curls and fist ball curls. Great. What do you do for your feet? Dead silence. And I think that, you know, for me, it was a big aha moment of there's just nothing to, in someone's normal training plan to work that connection point down to the ground. Tons of research out there to show that, you know, fatigued athletes move worse. Ankle sprains cause shifts in translation. There's research to show that athletes with better foot control actually jump higher and run faster and cut harder. So, you know, I spent a lot of my time in a research lab looking at, you know, metrics that correlate to performance. And one of the things that's been grossly, underserved is, developing the foot. So I developed techniques over the years, which I think have worked extraordinarily well, but it requires a lot of manual time with me one-on-one. And, you know, I'm like, look, there's got to be a better way. There's one of me and there's millions of athletes. What kind of tool can I develop to make a dent in this? Kind of the idea behind MOBO.
People can check this out online since this is a podcast. I do know my limitations, Jay. I can paint a picture. If you really want to see this, check out moboboard.com. So I guess if I were to describe this in terms of look, it kind of looks like a balance, like a wobble board almost. There's space for digits 2 through 5 to kind of go through the disc, and really the digit number 1 can really plan itself on this. How else do you describe it, and what goes on while you're using it? Because it looks like 4 slats, modifiable.
Yeah, it's perfect description. So basically, it's a disc. And actually, let me back up because this is kind of interesting. So I knew the purpose I wanted to do, right? So you look at all the research, it shows that all the propulsive and stabilization mechanics come to the first ray. The first ray needs about 85% of the load, and the lesser digits basically take about, you know, 10 to 15%, depending on the studies that you see. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that you want to help the athlete or the patient, you know, transfer load over to their first ray and avoid a gripping strategy, right? I think we're stuck in this hierarchy where, you know, therapists think, oh, somebody needs work on their foot. Great, I'll give them towel curls or marble pickup.
Right.
And the reality is what you're doing is you're biasing the long flexors. And the long flexors, when they contract, you actually take your first met head off the floor. What functional movement in sport do you do when you take your first met off the ground? That doesn't work. That creates an unstable environment. So what I did, I literally one day I just took a jigsaw and I just cut out, imagine like the insole in your shoe, right? I cut out a shape like the insole. I put support for the first ray and I left off support for digits 2 through 5. Then I just literally took a wooden dowel and I put a screw through it and put it under this little insole piece and made this little kind of a rocker, which is not really a wobble board. It's a single axis rocker that moves in 45 degrees off the sagittal axis. So basically, it's basically controlling pronation and supination as in the axis it occurs in. I was pretty excited about it. And I went and talked to someone who's very prominent in the retail world and mass distribution, showed him my idea, and he was actually kind of fired up. He's like, you know, idea works great. I feel it works awesome. This just doesn't look like enough. Doesn't look like enough of a product to get people behind it and get people excited. I see it works and I feel it working when I use it, but it doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
And I was kind of bummed. I was like, man, this thing works great. What are you talking about? And life got busy, other things. I wrote another book and, you know, just kind of put it in the back burner. And then it was interesting. I was just, this thing's been in the back of my head for forever. And so I was stuck in thinking about the positive and in terms of like, how do I give the platform underfoot and not thinking about the negative space. And I'm just mentioning this because I think design is really critical in a product. I realized, what if I just take that instead of having an insole underfoot, what if I just increase the size of the platform and still have the essential parts in the platform, in the disc? It wound up being a 14.5-inch disc now. And that same layout of support for the first ray and not support for the lesser toes are still there, but it looks more substantial, right? And it looks like it's got more just visual appeal to it. You can put the logo on it and, you know, people want product placement. And so one of the things I would say, if you have an idea, think about the purpose and think about the design, right? How that design is and looks and reacts and give a tangible feel of the product is actually quite important.
Did you pull that transition from that super minimalist, really just the dowel underneath the cutout to the disc? Did you do that yourself or did you bring in someone who has design experience?
No, I did it all myself. I literally, one day I was like, just had this aha moment and I went down into my garage and I took a jigsaw and I, as you know, as computer and robot-like as I could, tried to carve this thing perfectly. So the fins I had made would articulate the right way, and we'll get it in a second. And I was like, wow, this worked great. I got lucky, right? I made one that fit perfect in all the corners. It's got these fins that go in and control the axis of rotation. I was like, I can't make another one of these. This is perfect, right? Kind of a person. I have error. I went and I bought a little CNC machine that allowed me to actually make a design file. And I'm self-taught in all this stuff, by the way. and I bought a CNC machine and made a design file and made a bunch, right? And I just made them out of birch plywood and they worked great. And I was like, okay, great. So, you know, my CNC machine can make one an hour, right? And I stopped to sand them after they come out. That's not a business. And so I reached this point where I had a proof of concept I had had for, you know, years. I now had a completely working prototype that was amazing. I mean, they looked really beautiful. I had a Baltic birch plywood and they were nice and they had logos and it looked awesome. And I gave them a few athletes and I had them, you know, using them and all was going great. I had wonderful feedback and I loved it myself, right? You know, there's a big gap to go from proof of concept and working device to mass scale.
Right.
That was the terrifying part for me. That was the absolutely terrifying part of how do I bring this to mass scale. I was very, very, very lucky to, you know, ping some of my friends who are in the dot-com world and so forth and product development at different outdoor industries and kind of hook up with a gentleman who helped me find a sourcing firm over in Asia. We were able to refine the tooling, everything else, and find out product and, you know, lo and behold, I've got thousands in inventory now. So
we know it's in your garage then, right? Thousands of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got to go to, you know, then you get to, you know, does it work? Did the manufacturing firm do it correctly? Is the finishing options correct? Is it environmentally friendly finish?
Right, right, right.
Stuff that gives you cancer. So I went from the part of, you know, thinking about the product in terms of function to the product in terms of, you know, is this a viable, sustainable product that's going to, you know, work and be consistent? And so lots of... There's new things to learn every day, Jimmy.
I bet. Well, now that we're painting the picture, and I'm sure if people are listening to us on their phone or if they're new to their computer, you can see, you can adjust it where this will rotate on the pronation supination axis. It'll also tip on the plantar flexion dorsiflexion axis as well.
Yeah, so there are three critical components that are important, right? So number one, all balance training is not created equal. The literature is clear that when you put people on firm surfaces, you improve the proprioception, you improve the, you know, the reactive stabilization. When you put people on soft, squishy surfaces, such as Erex pads and, you know, kind of what I call fluid, like data disc, fluid unstable environments, you make it harder to balance, but you're not making it better to balance, right? What happens is the athlete usually winds up supinating and hanging out in a lateral column and adopting a very much a hip and a trunk sway strategy, right? That's not improving that foot and ankle reactivity that we're searching for.
Right.
And so one thing that's very important to me is to have a firm surface. So the MoMA board is made of bamboo. And so it's a firm environment. That's number one, because you want to have rapid feedback on positional awareness for the foot and ankle so the brain can feel position, right? You know, it's the fastest relay network in our body is our proprioceptive network. And we want to tie into that with a firm surface. So that's one key element. Second thing is that we said before that it gives you support for your first array and not for your little toes. So if the athlete is one that tends to adopt, you know, kind of roll off the outside of the lateral column or collapse the medial column, the board will shift. The idea is it gives you support where you want it. And I'm a big fan of always giving athletes positive feedback. And again, the best way to do that is how people feel. So if you try and grip on the board, there's nothing for your little toes to contact. So that's the critical idea is that I call it the toe box, that, you know, we have that the toes lay down. And the third thing is basically taking rocker boards, which hopefully most clinicians have been using for a long time. You know, rocker boards are great when you flip them at a 45-degree axis. That's, you know, the axis of pronation and supination. You can work in that axis, and then you can flip the fins around and work perpendicular to that axis. That's really important for getting the perineals to root the first ray down to the floor. And the other thing you can do with it is you can take both fins out and put both fins on the lateral aspect of the board. Especially for your folks with chronic ankle instability, we know all the research and I've done research on this. It shows that those folks tend to remain more inverted even throughout swing in an open chain environment. And you want to, you know, we spend all our time doing manual work to try and improve mobility of the joint, which is really critical. But if you don't train the athlete to use all that eversion you're going to give them, that's why they keep getting a spot of, you know, chronic problems. So what you can do is you can put the athlete in the board in an everted position and have them do functional work that way. And I find it tremendously successful for getting folks to utilize and own the motion that we're giving them manually. It's a great tool that's got, you know, again, it's designed with a purpose in mind to improve foot connection to the ground. And I like to think that it's a great tool to do that. But the great part about a MoBo, and I hate to oversimplify this, but it's almost like a TRX. You can do whatever you want with it, right? So not only is it great to get foot control, but you can do single leg deadlifts on it. You can do split squats on it. You can do anything on it, right? It's just trying to give you a way to take things from, you know, what I call kind of specific things for the foot and ankle to improve your activity, but then taking this up in integration exercises, right? So you can do, again, different squats, different overhead pressing movements, et cetera, and really have the athlete learn to unite the foot with the rest of the kinetic chain. That's where you really solve the problem.
MoBoBoard.com is where you can check that out.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to, period. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are heard. Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more. NPTE StudyCast, the number one NPTE podcast in the world.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
Talking with Jay Deshari from Rep Lab in Oregon. Check out his website too, reporegon.com. What are you looking at in terms of the information you send along with this? I mean, do you give examples on how to use, like you just mentioned, you could do a bunch of deadlifts on this. You know, if you had two of them, you could do this. Like, are you sending along hints to, not a protocol, but hints on how to use as a PT or as a patient?
Yeah. So it's a great, that's where you get into how you disseminate the information to the masses, right? So, you know, I really see it as a tool, which has kind of got three categories. So it's going to hit consumer, obviously, and I've had the product's been released for 2 days, and I've had great response from consumer side. The clinical side is also going to, it's had great response too. And so it's a different market, right? And then you've got that kind of, you know, the fitness industry as well. So you talk about, you know, boutique gyms and so forth. You have to be able to disseminate information easily. The thing I've learned is that we live in a, and forgive me, I'm just going to call this the Walmart society, where it has to be super simple to the average person. So the website information I'm giving out is written really simple. And, you know, that's great. As clinicians, I hope we have a higher thought process and think deeper. So, you know, on the website, I've got a little spot in there called Next Level. And my goal is to keep putting essential information out for clinicians that's related to this and other things too, right? I mean, I think it's good to have a platform to express your voice and talk to, you know, your peers. So we'll have that on there as well. But it's been challenging to find the balance. I originally wrote the website. It was written at a clinical level. And then you find out that's way too complicated for average folks. So The website, I kind of split things up into three categories. I have kind of what I call five for feet. So basically five exercises specifically for improving coordination controls in your arch. And then I had the next section called Crazy Eights, which is basically integration things, right? So how do you take that foot control and integrate it into hip abduction exploitation? How do you take it into, you know, lateral mechanics? So, you know, simply doing tippy birds or doing band kicks or overhead pressing movements or split squats or landmine deadlifts, those type of things, right? So trying to take things into more functional movements. And then I have a few small things in there on rehab ideas, right? So we have folks coming out of a boot. You're not going to have an unstable environment on day one. And that's obviously not possible. You know, the opposite of that is not, well, oh, let's just put you on a table and have you do band exercises. Right. You know, that's not functional either. So, you know, you allow one foot to be on a MOBO in a 50% weight bearing closed chain environment. And the other foot can be on a block or a phone book, right? To balance it off. So you've got, you know, half body weight, you know, when it's ready for, in your protocol. But the idea is, let you start to get some weight bearing range of motion control in the leg. So that's how I kind of separate things out. And I even have some lifting form corrections there too. So it's interesting. We talk about squat mechanics all day long, and a lot of athletes can't feel it. If you actually have two MOBOs and you try and squat, I would challenge you to squat incorrectly on two MOBOs. You can't. They just tip over. Really? So it literally forces you. We talk a lot of athletes, they squat, they go into a butt wink, or they tend to, you know, their stiff ankles prevent them from moving up the kinematic chain. The fact that you have to stay balanced over the center axis, you literally can't squat incorrectly without tipping the boards over. So again, going back to the whole idea behind helping the athlete feel proper position is absolutely critical. I like doing things that foster that idea. Whoa, to get balanced, I have to do X, Y, and Z, right? And that's where you have that learning mode base.
Mobileboard.com, there is a section for exercises, as Jay was just talking about. This looks cool. I like this. I saw it, you know, kind of pop up on Instagram, and I said, ooh, I want to jump on and talk with Jay about this and really hear about the process, but then, of course, how we're going to use it. So it was interesting to hear, like, kind of the story and, you know, you having the idea and then how long it actually takes to get some of those ideas. Even if they're great and they work, how long it takes it to get to fruition, get it to actual market. Can't wait to hear the after story, which is, I'm sure the information will start coming in from people who are starting to use this, both on the consumer side and on the clinician side. I can't wait to hear where people take this.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy. It's been fun. I mean, I always tell folks, you know, try to be creative and find new things. And I hope I see stuff on social media, people using this in ways I didn't imagine, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the whole idea, is that, you know, I think PTs are great at, you know, adapting tools to different environments. And I would say maybe lucky enough to, you know, have this idea to kind of work on this one. But I hope that, you know, those of you listening will, you know, ideas you've got, don't just sit on them. You know, think about how can I take this and make it into a product, and how can I think about ways to make, you know, my approach scalable. I think we need that. If you have stuff that you find working and you see great response on, don't just sit on it. I mean, you know, you share that with our community. We're all trying to help our athletes.
You got some research going on too. If you check out reporigon.com, that's Jay's website, and you can take a look at some of the projects you got. You're doing something that's been going on since 2013 with the U.S. Olympic Committee. Talk about that just for a second.
So I'd say my research is sort of twofold at this point. So we do some stuff where it's basically looking at performance analysis, right? So you'll have governing bodies will come to us and say, okay, look, we want to find out, you know, is there a better way to build this mousetrap, right? Looking at characteristics that define performance. So of athletes who, you know, do this sport, what types of, you know, training are they doing, and how is that training really, is it working, right? We do various performance metrics. Sometimes those folks will come in various times of the season for testing and benchmarking. Sometimes we're actually trying to scale back and say, okay, you know, of an athlete who's trying to cut this hard, we need to generate gravity reaction force profiles in this capacity. How do we train that to scale those and represent those? So sometimes we approach things that way. So the work we're doing with the committee, USA Track and Field and so forth, USA Triathlon, is all that type of mindset as far as how do you build better athletes. We work with US Ski and Snowboard as a testing facility to, again, say on return to play after injury, are we actually approaching things in the right way? Is this athlete ready to scale up to the next level? And we've got certain benchmarks we developed that actually say, okay, we're safe to move from this phase to the next phase. It's one thing when you're saying, look, yeah, start back to a sport. It's a different thing to say, I'm going to clear you to go down, you know, a GS course in Austria at 94 miles an hour.
Right.
And feel like we have confidence in you turning. So work that way. And then a whole different line of work I do is I do consulting work for the footwear industry for multiple companies. I'm kind of more of an independent think tank. They'll come to us sometimes when they say, hey, look, we have an idea. We just want to see if it's valid. Other times they'll come to me and say, we want to find out if there's a concept here that we want to dig deeper into, and we'll establish a testing protocol to you know, find out if there's another interesting, patentable, or protectable idea for them to
right.
kind of roll into their footwear product. So, yeah, it's definitely lots of irons in the fire. It keeps your brain working.
I bet. Somebody creating a product, you know, Jay's got a bunch of books that he's written, which he didn't mention. The one that led me to you originally, as I mentioned the first time you were on the show, was Anatomy for Runners, and you've since run Running Rewired. But you also train some professional athletes. Congrats to Lindsey Corbin, who was on this show before, who did a little Ironman World Championship in Wisconsin just a couple weeks ago, and she won that damn thing.
Yep, she won it. Yep, and yeah, that was great. Yeah, yesterday, awesome for Lindsey. Had another athlete win a steeple out in Europe yesterday as well. So yeah, it's been a good week. So
how's that feel? I mean, it's always gratifying to watch a patient or an athlete you work with, you know, achieve success. But to watch someone on like literally the world's biggest stage competing against the world's greatest athletes, what's that feel like?
Jimmy, it's nice. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm extraordinarily humble, I think, but I mean, I'm a tool, right? I'm there to help their athlete and enable them to achieve their dreams. And it's fun to be part of the team for sure, but I mean, 100% of that effort goes to the athlete. And I know they need teams and support personnel, but I'd say this, I don't view this as a win for me. I view it as a total win for them. And I will say the nice thing is most of the athletes I work with, I really, really like. And it's nice to get to know them at a different level. I think one of the more interesting things about elites is, you know, people put up on a pedestal and it's like they're afraid to talk to them. I meet the vast majority of people when they're broken down in really hard places. And you know, they want to open up and have a deeper conversation, and you get to know them pretty well, you know, at a level I think most people really don't, because, you know, they're kind of got this armor a lot of the time and they have to be strong. And it's really nice to know that they're just people, right? They're people who work really hard with, most of them have amazing genetics, but they're really committed people. It's a challenging environment to work with because, you know, you're always cranking the needle. I mean, you never have a chance to rest.
Right.
You know, and I mean that literally. I mean, you're getting emails and texts and phone calls, you know, all hours of the night, you know, hey, I did this. Is this okay? And my coach wants me to do this. Is that okay? So it's a lot of extra work above and beyond. I think people don't realize that. They say, I want to work with elites. And yeah, it's fun, but it's a lot of extra work. I would tell you, you're looking probably at 8 times the amount of effort you probably put into and I hate to say it, a typical patient. We're doing, you know, rehab protocol on. But it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. Again, they're great people. I always say, you know, it's awesome to see people achieve their dreams. And I just hope we keep seeing that.
So. That's cool. Well, check out more information about this thing we were getting into, MOBO. It's moboboard.com. And you you can follow Jay and find out more about him online at reporegon.com. You're going traveling, right? You're doing some more moving around the world, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to teach a course in two courses in Belgium next week, and then a course in the Netherlands.
Rough gig, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, I'm glad to grab you before you hit the road and we could talk about this, you know, before it blows up all over the place. We got you before this thing blew up and exploded online. But keep up the great work. Looking forward to the first time we actually get to have a beer in person. So I'll keep my eye out where Jay is in the world and when we can link up.
That'd be awesome, Jimmy. Yeah, thanks. It's been fun to get this out there. And yeah, I'd encourage other therapists to give it a try. It's pretty fun tool to play with. And again, if you got an idea, you know, pursue it yourself.
Love that. All right, last thing we do on the show here is your parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
All right, parting shot brought to you by Rock Tape, more than just a tape company, a movement company. The classes, the tools, the education to keep your patients moving longer, stronger. Check them at rocktape.com. Let's see, parting shot, your last chance to you have a mic drop moment or a soapbox moment, whatever you want, Jay. What do you want the audience to leave with?
I'm going to go along the builder idea here, right?
Okay.
If you've got a way, a concept that you want to try and get out there in the world, make it happen. You know, and if you say, oh, I can't do it because, find a way. If you don't understand how to build things, take a course on building things. If you don't understand how to code something from a software perspective, do that. If you don't understand how to connect with somebody to help you pull your idea to mass scale, find that person. If you got an idea, follow it.
I love that. Jay Deshari, appreciate you taking some time out. Good luck on the road, man. Enjoy talking to you.
Thanks so much.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.